invite you to turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. Well, the apostles, Simon Peter and the others, were seeing God move in a mighty way in Jerusalem. A breakthrough, and then something happened to where a couple of the people that had aligned themselves with the church came in and didn't tell the truth about the property they were selling and pretending to be bringing it all into the church and so on. And they had a judgment that came upon them. And they perhaps had heart failure because their untruthfulness was discovered and they died. It says fear came upon people in Jerusalem, and we pick it up in the fifth chapter at verse 12. The apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders among the people, and all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. No one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. So this fear had caused seemingly a way of people being standoffish for the moment, because Ananias and Sapphira had died in the presence of the apostles. I guess people didn't know if they wanted to get too close to these guys or not. At least they must have known that we don't want to get too close unless we're going to tell the truth. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. Now, that almost seems like a contradiction, doesn't it? People didn't really want to join them, and yet more and more people were added in numbers to them. As I thought on that, and this is not really the central thought on my heart tonight, but as I thought on that, I thought about those who kind of didn't want to come in the church because they were afraid their sins would find them out, but they didn't mind kind of being out in public acknowledging what God was doing. Because it says in verse 15, as a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. Crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by evil spirits, and all of them were healed. What a mighty and powerful demonstration of God's power and the reality of the resurrected Christ as God gave this kind of witness in the city of Jerusalem. What a powerful healing, deliverance ministry happened. Even though people were kind of afraid not to gather real close in Solomon's colonnade, they didn't mind bringing their sick people out into the streets, and Boonville would get lined with the sick. and then, sure enough, one of the pastors would come walking along, and his shadow would pass over them, and they would begin to get healed and jumping up and down and shouting and praising the Lord. Now, last week I said I wish that could be me that the Lord would use to bring healing to people. And the Lord began to speak to me after last Wednesday night, I believe. Either that or a guilty conscience won. Sometimes it's hard to tell the difference. But I believe it was the Lord. And my thoughts began to go like this. It's up to God who he chooses to work the miraculous through. It's up to God. It's not by our power and what is in us. It is by the love and power of the Lord God. It's fine to want to be available to the Lord, but it's not fine to just isolate something and covet it for me to be the one that the Lord uses. So I wanted the Lord to kind of expand on that a little bit in our hearts, if this really is from God, that began to deal with me after last Wednesday night. I began to realize that the shadow of Peter caught my attention. Now, that may also be a little bit of a sideline as to what I really felt would work deeply in my heart to work against me being selfishly wanting to be used of God in a dramatic way and an outward way, possibly with the wrong motivation that people would notice. I can't even get to the place of saying notice me, but people would notice what was happening. Of course, behind that is the selfish reason of knowing that people would notice you if you were the one that the healing happened through. God have mercy on us, because if that's the reason more healings don't happen, may we decrease and Jesus increase, amen? May we get out of the way and let Jesus control the way, amen? But this shadow of Peter represented something to me that I didn't even understand, and it's a little hard to really picture what was happening with Peter, whether he really noticed where his shadow was and deliberately cast his shadow on certain people, or whether he was just on his way somewhere and didn't even deliberately walk where the people were laid out in their mats and cots by the street side. Surely he must have walked over close to him so his shadow would fall on them, because somehow their faith in Peter's Lord, I believe, is the only reason that they were healed. And they were delivered from demons and they were healed after Peter's shadow crossed over them. And I began to think, now, God, do you use shadows of people in ways that I don't understand? Or is this just some sidelight to this that I shouldn't get distracted by? Well, I guess I gave into it, and sure enough, it's on my mind. And I looked at scriptures, and I saw Psalm 36:7 says, both high and low among men find refuge in the shadow of the Lord's wings. Interesting, isn't it? Psalm 91:1 says, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. You need rest? It says, as you dwell in the shelter of the Most High, or in His covering, there's something about His shadow that brings you rest. Well, what that really said to me was, where there's a shadow, there's somebody there. And when God's shadow is evident, that means He is present. Now, that's probably the best thing I'm going to say all night. Isaiah 51:16 says, I have put my words in your mouth, my people, and covered you with the shadow of my hand. Well, where there's a hand, there's somebody behind that hand. Amen. I who set the heavens in place, who laid the foundations of the earth, and who say to Zion, you are my people. And of course, God the Almighty says now to those who are in Christ Jesus, you are my people. I just wanted to get to that. Colossians 2:17 says, these things, like the standards of clean foods and religious festivals and Sabbath and new moon celebrations, are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. Yes, Jesus Christ. Hebrews 8:5 goes a little further with that same thought. They, speaking of the earthly priest of Israel, serve at a sanctuary that is a copy and shadow of what is in heaven. Where there's a shadow, there's reality. Oh, the reality is in Jesus. The reality is in heaven. This is why Moses was warned when he was about to build the tabernacle. See to it that you make everything according to the pattern shown you on the mountain, because it was really to be the shadow of what was in heaven. That just thrills me. The reality of Jesus Christ is typified in the shadow of the earthly priestly ministry of Israel. The reality of the tabernacle or temple of God in Jerusalem was to be a shadow of what is reality in heaven. Don't we serve a God who loves us and cares about us to be willing to reveal things like that to us? Praise the Lord. Oh, praise God for the way He is towards us. So out of that, I come back to where God seemed to be saying to me, it is He who chooses who is instrumental in a miracle happening. We don't choose that. God who chooses, whose shadow may even carry something in it from Jesus Christ that touches the person that needs the help from God. Your life casting a shadow of the reality of God's presence with you. We are chosen by God, each one of us, for certain giftings that He puts into our lives. And can we agree on this? What He does in our lives is influenced somewhat by our availability to Him. How we've proven that availability. He's watched us. He knows what He can trust us with. And out of that proven availability and our desire to be chosen by God, He has an opening, an opportunity, an environment in which the Spirit of God impresses on us, urges us of where to be involved in His kingdom ministry. Where we are, who we're with, who we know, who we can pray for, who we can love, who we can share with the kindness and love of God, and to see out of that what He really chooses to do through us. Psalm 41:3 says, I think it's about 12, 13 minutes to 8. I wanted to read these three verses because, and you may just want to listen or turn later or whatever. Psalm 41:1-3 says, blessed is he who has regard for the weak. Now that is saying that God blesses you because you have regard for the weak. I'll read it again. Blessed is he who has regard for the weak. There's something about God that feels for the person who is weak. Could be weak physically, could be weak financially, and maybe weak mentally, even causing the financial problem. Weak in any way whatsoever, weak emotionally, to be able to even grapple with things because of the weakness of their nerves. Anybody who is weak, it says, blessed is the person who has regard for the weak. And of course, that's in the context of the Israelites as God's people and now in the context of you, believers in Christ. And then it says, this is how the blessing comes to the person who has regard for the weak person. The Lord delivers him in times of trouble. The Lord will protect him and preserve his life. The Lord will bless him in the land. The Lord will not surrender him to the desire of his foes, his enemies. The Lord will sustain him on his sick bed. The Lord will restore him from his bed of illness. And I kind of numbered those 1 through 7 of the blessings that comes to the person who has regard for the weak. So to me, it was just another confirmation that we do influence what God does in our lives and through our lives by the way we treat others. And it causes God to have a reaction. And there's a response from God that does something through you. In the case of Simon Peter, he had been close to the resurrected Christ of glory, an apostle, to be a part of the foundation work of God's new church forming on the earth. And it was so powerful that it even was through his shadow and not only through his words or through the touch of his hands. You don't know the influence you have by the shadow you cast on people's lives, through the way you have regard for them when they are weak. That's why he felt led to pray for the family of the children that got burned in the fire. Because something about the weakness and the suffering and the hurts, and you felt that this week as well. So in wrapping this up, not only our proven availability and is important to the fruitfulness of our lives, not only our desire to be chosen by the Lord for effective ministry, but Paul expected the people to pray one for another. Paul seemed to say that's crucial to the fruitfulness happening in the kingdom work. For he said, pray for me that when I open my mouth, words may be given me, so I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. Paul, you mean you need prayer? I sure do, he said. He said in Colossians 4, 3 and 4, pray for us, those who were with him also, that God may open a door for our message. You mean you can't just go anywhere you want to, Paul, and have a great revival? I need you to pray for me, he's saying, that there will be a door God opens, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it as I should. And the final verse was in 2 Thessalonians 3, verses 1 and 2. Finally, brothers, pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored, just as it was with you, Thessalonians, in other words. And pray that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men, for not everyone has faith. So you mean, Paul, you need prayer that you'll be delivered from people who don't like you, who are wicked working against you? And the Apostle Paul would say, yes, church, I need you to pray for me. Is that something Pastor Jeff may be praying tonight where he is in his heart, that he hopes we are praying for him, that God will confirm if this is the open door God has for him, that God will confirm that this is something the Lord would bring about, that his message may be carried further, and God would open a door for his message and that it would spread rapidly? Oh, friends, tonight, we would let's stand together. We would do well to close this service in prayer also. We would do well to just believe God again that the days ahead are ordered of the Lord. We love you, Jesus, and you know that. And we desire, Lord, that you would have your way and not our way. And what you choose to do through us, we accept. And we are thankful and we are grateful. And Jesus, what you do in these days ahead to show us, Lord, how you are opening the way in your will for certain steps, we receive that. We just ask you to confirm it and assure in our hearts how we should vote and what will happen in these days ahead, and let the will of God prevail. We pray for this pastor that he will have the will of God in his life. For the door that God opens and the message that God gives, and that the Lord's will shall be done. We thank you, Father, tonight for your word. It has caused us to have a response. We receive your word and we trust you, for you make the best choices and you do the best in deciding. And we're just grateful to be a part of your kingdom on this earth. And we're just thankful, Lord, that you've let us be a part of the family of God and the grace of God at work. Hallelujah. Shall we just praise and thank the Lord? Oh, we're grateful, Lord. We're grateful, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for hearing us, bearing witness with our hearts, pouring out upon us what you have tonight, loving us, Lord, in spite of our weaknesses or not understanding everything. You still lead us. You guide us. Your blessing. We thank you. We thank you. So we just pray one for another, Lord, that you will keep our steps, that you will keep us, and over each one, the covering and the blessing of the Lord as they go, in Jesus' name. Praise God. Amen. God bless you.